welcome to another edition of the Simpson Studio Podcast. Thanks for stopping by. I am your host, Matt Simpson, and it is my aim to bring you the best content in faith, life, and wisdom out there today. So it's my privilege to bring you a special edition to the show, as I will be joined by the multi-talented, multi-awesome, dear friend of mine, Mrs. Ashley Cochran. Ashley is an elite photographer and world-class essential oils dealer. Her aroma game is always strong. She's a great friend and celeb to many. Personally, I think she may be a real-life sugar fairy. Starbucks fairy, for sure, yeah. But recently, she's more known for having to walk through a very difficult trial these past several years as her late husband, Captain Chris Cochran, who was just a legend and even more of a legend today, sadly passed away 1 year ago. Ashley, as brave as ever, courageously provides an in-depth look at what her life has been like before, during, and now after this tragedy, and how the Lord is using her story and faith in the honor of Chris to provide a respite for those who find themselves walking in her shoes. This is a special all-access look at one of the most testing times in Ashley and Chris's life, and how even glory can come through grief. And Ash will reveal some big primetime news on a nonprofit ministry she has now started in Navarre, Florida, and how this vision and plan came to life even through this difficult season. You'll get it here first, so don't miss a second of this one. All this and more on Episode 9 of the Simpson Studio Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and follow either through our SSP website, iTunes, or Google Play so you can track along with us. Thanks again for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to episode 9. It's that time to welcome our guest, the beautiful, talented Miss Ashley Cochran. Ashley, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you on this show. I have been looking forward to this moment for a long time. There's a reason we have kind of waited until episode 9, and we'll get into that later, because there's some big news she wants to share with us towards the end of the show. But for right now, just a little backdrop on Miss Ashley. I've been friends with Ashley for a while, known her and Chris for some time, and there's a lot of things in common with Miss Ashley Cochran here, and that is our love for Auburn football.
War Damn Eagle.
Our love for black poodles, although yours is like supersized and mine you can step on and kill them, but, and most importantly, our love for Chris Cochran. Yeah. Ashley's going to share a lot about Chris and his story and the impact he's had on her life, and really just the purpose for what Chris had to go through, and how that has just been refining and been glorifying itself just monumental way in the lives because of the character and the testimony that that Chris lived out during this tough, tragic trial, and how that story is being shown as a witness and testimony to how great God is. So, Ashley, tell us about kind of how this all started.
Yeah, gosh. So, well, Chris and I met in 2009 when he was in pilot training for the Air Force. He was he and I had actually both gone to Auburn, but we didn't know each other while we were there, which is kind of cool. But he was a pilot before that, and when they were able to approve eye surgery for pilot training, he got to go. And so that had been a lifelong dream of his, and we met during that time. And due to some unfortunate medical circumstances with him and a couple of the other pilots at that same base, he was unable to carry out being a pilot for the Air Force and retrained into intelligence. And that was around the time that we got married and moved to Florida. He was stationed here at Hurlburt Field and got to do some really, really cool things. And during his time as a human intelligence officer, he was on a deployment and contracted a heart valve infection that unfortunately led to a number of strokes and some pretty difficult medical things that we had to walk through. The second stroke was very tragic, and he almost died. And during that time, he lost all ability to speak, was paralyzed on the right side. He was med flighted to multiple hospitals, and we ultimately did about 6 months of rehab out in Colorado. It took him about 6 months to get out of a wheelchair, 6 months to even be able to string three words together. He had no words when he woke up from the coma. And
wow.
So he really had to walk through a lot in rehab. And over the course of the next year, he went to a couple of speech programs and learned to speak again. But of course, his speech was very different than in the beginning, and he really had to push through a lot. So our life became very much about his recovery. And over the course of the next 5 years, that was what our life looked like.
Yeah, you could sum that up pretty well, just like you did. But how did you find the courage just to give him hope, maybe when you were just, weak yourself?
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, it was terrifying for me because in the beginning, you know, they bring you in this room and prepare you that your person is not going to survive. And as a military spouse, that's always at the top of your mind, your greatest fear that something's going to happen on a deployment or a training accident or things like that. And so that had been always my greatest fear. And so when we realized that he was going to miraculously pull through, we just saw this really, really long road ahead. And that was very difficult. You know, we knew his life was going to look very different. He wasn't going to be able to go back to the Air Force. And the life that he had had before, he was a stud. So, we didn't know what that reality was going to be. So that was a very dark time for both of us. For me, assuming the new role of caregiver as a 26, 27-year-old. And for him, going from, being this pilot and then doing these really cool missions and now to learning that he wasn't going to be able to return to work and that he couldn't take care of himself. That was a really, really dark time for us for a long time. So during that time, my faith was really the biggest thing that carried me through. And, you know, myself and Chris's mom and the family, we were all there to be an encouragement for him. But, behind the scenes, we were freaking out, in the beginning, is he going to survive? And then what is this going to look like? And so I grew up in church, but I didn't develop a personal relationship with God until I was an adult. And, just a few years before this experience and through this experience, that was really the catalyst for change for me in my relationship with Christ and just leaning on him through this process and not knowing, what the future was going to look like, but trusting that he had saved Chris for a purpose and that we were going to walk through that together.
Wow. I've had this conversation with Chris. I can remember like it was yesterday. Although you may not be aware of your acts of faith just by showing up each day and having courage, and you may not know he was watching that, but he was, because he talked very openly once he completed pretty much a full recovery after years down the road. We'll talk about that. And he would share with me just the courage that Ashley had, the toughness, the grittiness that Ashley had. Although he said he had doubts and maybe wasn't really all the right in all the right places to live that same spirit out that you had, he kept that in the back of his mind. He gave you and God a lot of glory because of those times. We asked for the fruits of the Spirit, patience, and patience is given when you're up against a long road. So you were that for him. And so you're talking about the darkest time. How did Chris gain that courage himself? Although watching you, seeing you shine, what was the thing that lit up in his mind and his heart to give him that personal confidence? Instead of just watching someone else live it out, what turned on to make him have that self-belief?
Well, I think the number one thing was having the support of his friends and family throughout that time. But we had to kind of find things that would light up his spirit during that time, because living in a hospital for that extended period of time is really, really tough. And seeing the things that he couldn't do anymore, from feeding himself to even putting together the words that he needed to communicate to us what was going on. And he would say later that he felt that he was just trapped in his own mind. And so during that time, like you have mentioned, we are Auburn grads, big Auburn football fans, and that was our 2013 season. We were in the hospital through that entire season, and we absolutely lived for the weekends. We lived for the Saturdays.
Saturdays.
So we, any way we could get that game streaming to my laptop or however we had to do it, he, you know, we did something really unexpected that season, and he watched those guys, those kids, go out there and play their hearts out, and they had something to fight for, and you know, did some really big things that year, really unexpected things, and they wanted it and they fought hard for it. And that was an absolutely incredible season. And that just really lit a fire under Chris to, you know, this thing that he loved so much, Auburn football, really was an inspiration for him to go out and fight for his own recovery and, you know, making his own way. So that was a big, big catalyst for change for him.
And if you've seen pictures of Chris on the internet that so many people have shared, you know, before and after his death, you, by chance, every fourth or fifth picture would have seen a picture of him and Ashley wearing some Auburn colors. And there was one in particular of him on the hospital bed with the clenched fist, with, you know, big, bright, you know, happy face. I don't know what happened, if it was a touchdown, an interception, but what Ashley was just sharing right there for those who are listening is the joy that he got finding something that he loved and choosing to believe the impossible. And that's the story. And that's the kind of the testimony of Chris was believing the impossible. And recently, the trial that he, the latest, there's a shirt that was made that said Wardam Cochran. What is Wardam Cochran? Describe that and what that means to you.
Yeah, well, I think I have to tell a little backstory to make this make sense for those out there that may not be Auburn Tigers fans. I don't know
that's
who
okay.
those people are.
We don't
are.
Discriminate. I'm just sharing that there's a bond here that's an Auburn spirit that's undeniable.
Yeah, so I mentioned that season. That was a really special season. And we actually got discharged from the hospital right before the Iron Bowl, which for those that don't know, the Iron Bowl is Auburn versus Alabama, our biggest rival. And we got home 2 days before that game, and we have season tickets, but we hadn't planned on going because, like I had said, Chris, you know, was barely out of the wheelchair at that point, not really walking well. Definitely not talking well, and his right arm was paralyzed. So we were not planning on going to that game, but he woke up that morning and said, I got to go talk to Mom. We're going to that game. In not so many words, but we ended up going to that game and, you know, sitting there on the sideline. And that's, if you want to Google kick six, get quite the backstory on a really incredible game.
Time well spent.
Yeah, we, a very, very important second in Auburn history. Happened during that game, and just the look on his face, and you know, seeing that come to pass, that really was a turning point in his recovery. I recently found in his phone a little reminder from that date that goes off every year on that date, my believing moment, and that was just really profound for me. That was the moment that he just realized, like, I can do absolutely anything, and so that game will forever be a really special memory in his mom's and mine memories, because that was such a turning point for him. And so those shirts, that was the season that we had Cam Newton and Nick Fairley and just some really amazing players. And so fans had kind of started taking our battle cry, which is War Damn Eagle, and changed it to War Cam Eagle or War Damn Fairley.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shirts that were made recently embody Chris's fighting spirit or War Damn Cochran. And so that's really what that means, that fighting, never quit, overcome any odds kind of spirit that Chris really embodied.
Yeah, you could say you have that spirit, but when you know Chris, you know that those words ring true. If ever there was any person that embodied that, that was him. And man, Chris had a tremendous impact on me. Ashley knows that, and he was a great friend to me, and great friend to a lot of others. And to see so many people post pictures of themselves wearing that Wardam Cochran shirt, it was, I think, twofold. It was to honor Chris, to identify what Chris was going through, that they were going to support him, but I believe every time I wear it, which is a lot, or it's more in, that it was, yeah, I can carry that same belief. And that's the biggest gift that Chris gives us today, is that he gives us that joy, that peace, that courage, that fight. Anybody who's out there listening that has anything to do with the Warrior Games, knows this spirit was just contagious, and they wanted to be friends of Chris. And though Chris was traveling and doing all sorts of great things and in that hospital, that they were rooting for him. And it was almost, it was a battle cry. It was a cheer because this guy was an athlete. You think about this guy as a captain in the Air Force. He went from high flying, I can do anything up in the sky, to I am now stuck in this hospital, not speaking, not walking. Yeah. And he goes from that to, you could count him out, or you could, he could have the faith and the courage you showed to him, for him to observe that, listen to that, and then for him to say, you know what, I'm going to get on board. It was more than just a motto, personal motto for him. He wanted to do something with that. He wanted to walk that fight out in a lot of different ways. So what were the things that Chris wanted to do that he did that that were able to influence others?
Sure. So yeah, and we certainly still from that point on had a long period of darkness to overcome, but what he called the period of darkness. But we came home to having, you know, daily therapies for years after that point, to get him as well recovered as we could. But he found after that point adaptive sports, and that was really huge for him. He had grown up bow hunting. He thought he would never shoot a bow again. Had grown up by the water. He thought he would never swim again, you know, being paralyzed on the right side, and got involved with the Air Force Wounded Warrior Program and some other really great organizations, Lakeshore Program and things like that, that and some hunting and things like that, that showed him that he could do those things. He learned how to shoot a bow with a mouth tap and learned how to swim, just being able to, you know, paddle with one arm, and you know, played wheelchair basketball, and got a recumbent bike, and he went on to compete in the Warrior Games and win a lot of medals. And but the most important thing to him was that he was always reaching back to help the next person, and that was such a tell of his personality that he had had even before this. He was a person that made everyone feel seen, and he just had such an amazing character. And so even with everything that he overcame, he was the first person to want to reach back and help the next person, and that was hugely important to him. That became his new mission.
Absolutely. I think there was a fire that lit in him that he knew that he had to help the next person find that fire or fan that flame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Having come from that period of darkness, as he called it, he knew what that felt like, and he wanted to help other people move out of that, climb down in the hole with them and help them climb out.
Tell us about Chris's coin.
Yeah, so a military tradition is these challenge coins. They're called RMOs, round metal object. And so around the time that Chris was medically retired, we had been strolling through an airport and had an Army veteran come up to us and present Chris with his coin. And from there, you know, we had met so many people throughout the course of Chris's recovery that he decided he wanted to make a coin. And so on his coin, he chose two scriptures that were really important to him and that he truly lived out. And the first is from John 3:3. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he really meant that. He really tried to live that out, that after his stroke, he really found a renewed strength, and he would go on to speak and encourage others. And he always made a point at those speaking engagements. There were many, many times where he said specifically, my strokes were a blessing. If I had died in that, you know, in those strokes, I don't know that I would have gone to heaven. And of course, as his wife, I sit back and I think, like, yes, he would. You know, I know what an amazing person he was, but always. But he truly meant, he said, I believed in God, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. And, you know, the other verse on his coin says, it's from Job. And Chris certainly had some huge setbacks. And it says, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. And that's from Job 42:12. And Chris really, truly believed that that period of time after the strokes was his second half, and he intended to do everything that he could with it. So it was really incredible to see that, you know, from what he said, that his earthly suffering, you know, secured his eternal salvation. And that's really beautiful.
It is beautiful, the idea that it was all worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worth that because the pain and the suffering it produces,
yeah,
the Bible says, perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope.
you know, you mentioned that there were some recent medical issues, and Chris ended up in the hospital again last year and in a coma again with a really traumatic injury. And his first words when he woke up from the coma were, "I'm blessed." And I certainly don't know if my first words when I woke up after sustaining yet another injury, looking down the path, seeing how much recovery I'm going to have to do again, would be, "I'm blessed." And so, you know, to me as a spouse, like, man, he taught me something every day.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we all have, you know, want that hope.
Yeah. And us, close friends of yours who were having prayer vigils in the chapel during that last hospital visit where he fell and hurt his head truly bad. And we were slowly understanding that this could go either way, knowing that he said that. It did have that ripple effect in us because my wife, Jessica, she's in tears. I mean, she tells that story all the time. Yeah. It was making airwaves that the first thing he said was, "I'm blessed." And so every person that we shared that with was just, wow.
Yeah, you mentioned that joy. You know, Chris and I made that decision early on after the strokes and everything happened that we were going to choose joy. You know, once we made it through that dark period, and I'm not saying it got easy after that. There was that darkness was always threatening at the edges, you know, but we had to make that choice to choose to be joyful, and he lived that out daily. And man, he taught me so much, but he always attributed that to his mom and his stepdad, Doc, who raised him, and he had that his whole life. He was a bright and shiny person, and he, even despite all of his circumstances, he carried that with him right up into his passing, which unfortunately we lost Chris on March 19th of 2018, just about a year ago, really unexpectedly. And that has been really difficult.
Yeah. I could only imagine you know, you weren't just a wife during that time. You were his caretaker. You were with him every second of every day, mm-hmm. the last, what, 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Your story continued, and your faith had to be redeveloped and reshaped. Talk about that process, that slow process, because there's a verse that says in Psalm 34:18, that God is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. We can't have joy knowing the faith that Chris had, but there was a brokenness because we're not able to hug him, talk to him, love on him, just to get all the Chris we can while he was here. Now that it's gone, what was that process like to just restore your faith, and how did the Holy Spirit kind of comfort you during that time personally?
You know, I mentioned that was always my greatest fear, and to have that realized is, I mean, I don't think I'll ever walk through anything harder in life than losing Chris, losing my best friend and my spouse, you know. But I think that I'm so thankful that I know the Lord, and I don't know how people walk through this without that relationship, you know. I just think of how much he loves us, that he gave his son to take all of our sins so that, you know, death would be defeated, and we know that we, you know, have that hope for eternal life, and that Chris and I will be reunited. And I knew all that after Chris died, you know, and that I never had a moment where I felt like the Lord left me.
Right.
I felt like the Lord was with me all the time. I'm not saying that it was easy. Yeah. There were many days that I didn't get out of bed, that I laid on the floor in my closet and cried all day, you know, but I think when the absolute worst happens, when you find yourself at rock bottom, like, what is the rock at the bottom? Like, what is your foundation? If it's not in Christ, like, what is it in?
Absolutely.
How do you climb out of that hole if Christ is not the foundation? And I'm so thankful that, you know, he is the rock at the bottom for me. And absolutely, like I said, I would change the story if I could, but I also know that he's still writing my story, and he's going to carry it out to completion. So I think that, you know, moving forward, Chris has had such a huge impact on my life, and knowing where he is, and knowing that, you know, when he got to heaven, that he probably heard those words that we all hope to hear, "Well done," you know, and knowing that from where Chris is seated, he can see what the next chapter of my story looks like, is heaven has never seemed more real to me than it does now. My faith has never been stronger than it is now.
It's incredible. I've never heard the perspective, the analogy of the rock being communicated like that before. That is astounding. Wow, you're right. It's almost like the floor in your closet laying down was not just the carpet. You're just laying down on God. Laying down on His hand, and He says He keeps us in the palm of His hand. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, we're told that we're one body. You know, when one arm hurts, the whole body hurts. And you're just such a sweet soul to begin with. But to see this sweet soul going through this burden of losing Chris, her husband, my goodness, it was natural of us and so many others of the faith to say, hey, get it in action. Take care of her. It says, take care of the widows. Go to those who are in distress. And so talk about what that meant to you, being surrounded arm in arm with ones you love close by here.
Yeah, I was blown away by how the community, my family and friends just really rallied around me during this time. I could not be more blessed. And you specifically, you know, asked me about small group, and I'm so thankful. That was something that Chris and I had prayed about for years and years. Before the strokes, that we would find just a good group of people to do life with. And funnily enough, that life group was formed while he was on that deployment, that he got the heart valve infection. And so they really, you know, y'all have really walked with me through this whole thing. And the loss of Chris was so impactful on everybody in the group. But to just have y'all come in and, you know, lay in the floor with me while I cried and cry with me, and you know, I think sometimes when tragedy strikes, people tend to want to say something to make you feel better. But when you're grieving, you don't really you're not looking for somebody to fix it. You just hurt and you can't change it. And so just to have your people come in and, who are grieving with you, and truly y'all were the hands and feet of Jesus for me. I mean, from doing fundraisers to, you know, I didn't know what my life was going to look like at that point. And y'all really rallied and did some really cool fundraisers and helped me out, not just emotionally, but financially, and just were always there. I could lean on y'all. And I'm so thankful that I have y'all and a really good group of friends to do those kinds of things for me. I think community is so important. You know, I don't think I could have walked through this.
Well, I must say, I think the actual scripture more appropriate is, the measure you use will be measured onto you. So The measure you use was your grace and Chris's joy just abundantly flowing to us. How could we not pour that back onto you because of all the things that y'all gave us, which was a story.
Yeah.
We have story. You know, we got a little small neighborhood story, but y'all's story was just, it was public. People were following you. And I don't know if you ever felt that, but people were supporting you and watching you go through this through these things, and there was just a great abundance of people that were following you, getting impacted by you, influencing you, and then naturally, it all came back.
Yeah, so it was always really important to Chris to share his story because he just felt like, you know, coming into this, we didn't know anyone else who was going through a similar situation that we were, you know, until we started getting involved with adaptive sports and things like that. And it really became apparent to us that community is so needed. And that's what the Lord calls us to, community, you know. And
with that said, you've got a huge vision kind of given to you by the Lord to help others identify, connect, build a community in a way that you never thought was going to be something designed for you personally. But talk with us about this new vision that's really manifesting itself right now. Big news, breaking news. Talk with us about this new operation that you and the Lord have been secretly kind of developing over the past few months.
Yeah, so with that said about, you know, us feeling isolated and until we came into community with others who were going through similar things, Chris and I, in like, I guess it was 2014, we just had this moment where we realized, like, we are a husband and wife, not just a caregiver and a warrior. So we realized that we were really lacking in the area of focusing on that. And around that time, we had this dream to create a space where we could bring in other wounded, ill, and injured veterans like us and their spouses and focus on their marriage and give them respite here on our beautiful Emerald Coast. You know, we live in the most beautiful place, and we bought a piece of land, and that is a really long story. God was all over that, but just absolutely, this was such a God-breathed dream, not something that either of us would have ever thought up, but that's a story for another day. But you know, we bought the land and walked forward and having this dream. And after Chris passed away, I really questioned that. Like, God, why would you put this on our heart? And then, you know, now Chris is gone. How do I, as just one half of the team, you know, how do I minister or mentor or do any kind of, you know, fellowship with these people? Yeah, I've walked it, but man.
Starting to sound like Moses, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I've thought about Moses a lot. Chris and I used to talk about Moses when he went out and started speaking, because the speaking was his thing that he was most self-conscious about. And
cool.
I shared with him, you know, Moses had a speech impediment.
And, how about that?
And God got his little attitude and said, man, did I not make your mouth? And you know, that was really formative for Chris. And so, yeah, we have talked about Moses a lot throughout this process actually. But about 6 months after Chris passed away, I had had a really bad week, and I can remember distinctly a moment getting down on my knees and just screaming at God, you know, why did you put this on our hearts? And then for Chris to just not be here.
Yeah.
If you're going to use me, if you can use me better as a widow, then show me how. Like, my hands are open. Use me, but you got to tell me what it is. And about a week later, almost 6 months to the day after Chris passed away, I had a moment where God woke me up in the night, told me to get out of bed and get a notebook, and I did. And, you know, 4 pages later of writing, yeah. He revealed what he wanted me to do with this nonprofit idea that we had. And so the idea for Crowned for Ashes was born. And, you know, he revealed that he wanted me to carry out the mission of helping wounded, ill, and injured veterans and their spouses with that focus on marriage and a God-centered marriage. And but that mission was to also extend to young widows, you know, in the season that I'm in now. So we're moving forward in that.
It's very really cool.
Terrifying and exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you go from 1 week to saying, there's no way, I got zero ideas. I don't have any plans from this point forward. Don't think I even know how this will look. If you got any ideas, God, show them to me. And then he's like, okay, I will.
Yeah.
So it just seems so natural that you're empty, your hands are open, I got nothing. And then only with that can the Lord build his plan.
Yeah.
It says that the without, you know, the Lord builds the house, its labors are in vain. So this is exciting to hear. Ashley took us out to dinner one night. Maybe we took her out to dinner, I think.
I think it was a small group meetup at a restaurant.
So she told us that vision, and we were just excited for her to find some ground, to find some division. That it's not unproductive stuff. It's not like I've taken up knitting. I'm flying kites now. I think that's what God's want me to do now with my time. So that's the why that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Talk about the how. I want to kind of get underneath this thing.
Yeah. So what I think is so cool is the way that God weaves stories together. And for me, a lot of times that's through dates and things like that and significant, you know, things that are symbolic. And he speaks to his children so differently. And so one of the coolest things through this has been to see the timeline. And Chris and I closed on the piece of land almost a year to the day before he died. And this year, on the anniversary of Chris passing away, is when the paperwork making the nonprofit official came back.
Wow.
And so that has been, you know, this past year, grieving the loss of Chris has been the hardest year of my life. And it was just so powerful to me to see this year closed out with the opening of the next chapter, literally the opening of the next chapter. You know, we've been waiting on that paperwork for months, and for it to come on that day was pretty profound. So moving forward, we're going to be purchasing some more land and building a beautiful house to bring these amazing people in and do fellowship with them, and for them to build a community with others like them. And we've got a lot of work to do to make that happen, but I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about you, Chris, having this plan while you were together. And then it was a plan. God's just kind of shifting it. Yeah. I think he does that a lot with people. He gives people a vision, but it's not for them to know the time or the season, but to be faithful and obedient and preparing yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if giving up on hope or if just being a miserable person during that time, if this vision would have been given to someone who was kind of stuck in their self-centeredness, but you staying faithful, staying grounded, praying, going to church, going to Bible studying, staying open. Again, you weren't perfect through every day, but you know who can be? But you were being willing. And then sure. I believe God sees all of it, every little bit of it, and honors that. And that's so cool. So tell us how we can support. Tell us how others can know more information and follow this ministry that's really just, right now, it's just land, am I right?
Right. So Chris and I bought a piece of land that we intended to build our personal home on.
Yeah.
You know, at that time, in that stage of the dream, we thought we would be bringing one couple in at a time. And at that time, I had no idea that this would involve widows. Of course, he couldn't tell me back then, you know, that I would one day be ministering to widows, because I wouldn't understand that, you know. that would have been horrifying. And so at this point, we have one piece of land. We've got to purchase a little more land so that we can put a house on it. And so, yeah, the next step will be fundraising, and then we'll be starting to put together a list of people and start reaching out to the community and trying to find these people that need the help.
Awesome. There's a website, content, information up and running now. Tell us where people can go to know more about this this new vision.
Yeah, so people can head to our website, which is crownedforashes.org, and crowned is C-R-O-W-N-E-D. As in, we have been crowned by God. So that actually, I'll give you a little backstory how the name of the organization, Crowned for Ashes, came about from the Isaiah 61:3, which says, "To all who grieve, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And I just love that. You know, you mentioned how close the Lord is to the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, it's said so beautifully here.
It's been said that we're either about to go into a trial, in the middle of one, or just coming out of one. So in your circumstance, in your situation, you have this unique perspective and mindset, having now gone through this difficult season with each challenge along the way. What's your advice to someone listening who is either just about to go into one, starting one, in the middle of a hard situation, a deep valley that they're just in the thick of it, or just coming out of it? You know, what would you say to them to give them encouragement, to have something they can grip, some type of traction that has been provided to you through all this?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to know, you know, what's particularly pertaining to grief, like this is not something that I'm ever going to get over, or, you know, grieving goes on forever. And
right.
I would say to someone, specifically someone who's grieving, that I wish I could say it gets better, but it just gets different over time. But whether, you know, like you said, the Bible says we are promised trials. We will all have a cross to bear. And so whether it's grief or going through a difficult time, I think that it's important to just keep in mind that, you know, we all have a story to tell. And Chris would always say that if he helped just one person who was going through something similar to what he was going through, that the whole trial was worth it. And I think that that's the way that God really wants us to look at the trials in our life. You know, I'm no authority on what I've walked through. I'm no authority on being a military spouse, on being a wounded warrior spouse, a caregiver, on being now a widow. And certainly if I could change my story, I would, but I feel that God has called me to use it. And I think that that's what he calls each of us to do. You know, we have the choice to reach out to another and walk alongside another and help the next person along and be a light for that person. I think that that is our call this side of heaven. And I think that's really all we can do.
Awesome. You know, if it depended on us, we would always choose what's most comfortable to us.
Yeah.
But yet the challenge of being vulnerable, you know, always looking like you're not qualified, that's something that the enemy certainly wants to input in our minds, that you don't know how to do this. And quite frankly, we might not be.
Yeah.
But when we have God on our side, we pretty much can do the impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. The enemy, man, I think that he loves for us to feel like, who are you to do this? And to, in this worst season of life, to just to push us down even further and further. And that's not of God. I think it's so important to just remember that even in this terrible season, I know how much I love Chris and I wish he was here. But one thing I remind myself constantly is like, he's God's child, first and foremost. He loved him even more than I did.
Yeah.
And so that which, you know, the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. And so even out of such a situation as this, he can bring about something good. So that's why I just think it's so important that we are open and willing to share our stories and help others along.
Very cool. I'm excited to allow you to showcase this thing. You better expect us to be heavily involved as well. You have a photography business that's been, in some way, as we all should, carry out our employment as a work of ministry by doing the good works that God's asked us to do. Whatever we do, it says in Colossians, do it all for the glory of God. So how has photography been a source for you to reach out to others?
Sure. Well, I started as a wedding photographer. I did that for 7 years. And telling others stories, I think, was so special. You know, I've mentioned story a lot today. And that has sort of transitioned into branding photography here most recently, where, you know, I'm really getting to go in and share the hearts behind creative brands. And but where I really think this is going to be special is I think that wedding photography piece was to learn to tell the stories. And I think where, as it relates to the nonprofit, it's going to be really important to be sharing the stories of these couples and these young widows that are going to be coming in. And, you know, Chris and I had a quote that we loved, which says, "We're all just walking each other home." And so I think that really is the purpose of our stories. And so I hope to use my photography in that way to shine the light on others and what they're walking through so that they can shine the light on the Lord's kingdom too.
You know, like you said, the story is still being written. And I believe that more and more things, more and more testimonies or things that God is weaving through the fabric of your life and other people's life, that you'll look back and say, that was the reason this. Oh, look,
yeah.
That was the reason that. That's why I've learned that. That's why she's a widow with me today. When you have purpose in your life and you have God that has a design for you, a design that leads to goodness, it's fun. It's a little bit reckless, a little bit vulnerable,
yeah,
when you let him have complete control.
Absolutely. I'm no authority, but the ripples, you know, that Chris's life, the legacy he's left behind, I just hope to honor that and do that myself.
Well, tremendous. I hope those listening will gravitate towards this new plan. Maybe you in your life have know a widow, know someone that may be perfect for this situation. Please reach out to Ashley. Go through the website. Her contact info will be there. This is probably one of the most coolest, but most heart-wrenching, yet filled with joy stories and podcasts that we have had. That's why we've been waiting for a little while to have Ashley on, is because she's been getting all her paperwork in order and she wanted to make it official before announcing the big news. So I'm so blessed you came on. I'm so blessed that you have vision. I mean, heck, you could have waited 10 years before getting a word from the Lord, but here you are kind of continuing the race. So I'm proud of you. This is the guest we have with us today, Ashley Cochran. This is no gimmick here. She is the real deal, and I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is so fun.
Absolutely. We're blessed. I know you have been blessed. And please go check out her website. Once again, is
www.crownedforashes.org.
You can follow along her story there. You can follow along her story soon enough, because we'll get you back in here and you can tell us how this whole great, awesome ministry vision is developing as it gets underway.
Oh, I'd love that.
Trusting that you'll make something